Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
G'day and welcome to the Ball Boys Fantasy Basketball Podcast. We are talking sell higher. Make the most out of those players that have been killing it and get yourself an even better player on your team. Let's go.
Jordan open. Chicago with the lead. Bryant to Shaq.
Not a game. We talking about practice.
LeBron James with no regard for human life. And he's gone to the
G'day and welcome again to the Ball Boys Fantasy Basketball Podcast. I am your host, Mitch Casey, and you can find me on Twitter at BallBoysNBA and on Instagram at BallBoysFantasyBasketball. And I'm joined, as always, by Calamac, the guru himself. This time we are doing the Sell High Show. How are you doing, Cal?
I'm doing well. I love Sell Highs. It's a bit of a reward for anyone out there who has this player. But you have to jump on this now, take advantage of it, because we do not forecast these guys will maintain it.
Yes, 100%. That is the gist of the show. And you've learned from experience. I know last year you were going really well. You were crushing the regular season. You had all these players playing out of their minds. Couldn't quite capitalize the sell high. It's hard to do it when you run a podcast and you're talking about these players every week. But it can come undone at the end of the season. So definitely get out there and try and make these deals happen. All right.
And trades are fun. It excites the league.
It does.
Let's bring some excitement in people's lives.
Yeah. I know our league is very, everyone's very tight and stuff. So hopefully you guys can orchestrate some trades out there. So it does make things a bit spicier. All right. Let's start with the first one. Let's get stuck straight into it. Cal, you've got your first sell high candidate up for us. Who is it?
I have the unicorn himself in Kristaps Godzingis. Look, current rank 10. On Yahoo, he was ranked 48. I feel like that goes with a bit of the injury concern, which I'll touch on later.
Yep.
Look, Luka Doncic has been out for a while. He was back today, and Kristaps still played well, so that is a positive sign. He has been looking pretty good, I'll be honest. Since Doncic was down, he really has been stepping it up. Pretty reasonable field goal. He's getting his threes, rebounds, points. His blocks always there. Turnovers have also been quite reasonably down as well. Fundamentally, just really good everywhere outside of just your usual assists. He was never going to give you that. You didn't draft him for assists. Kristaps Porzingis, I think, will be on the way down just because of Luka. He's actually, in the last 2 weeks, he's the second-ranked player. That's how good he has been, putting up splits of 26, 9, 1.4 blocks. Field goal at 53%,
yeah,
which is crazy. 2.5 threes. His free throw percentage as well, 5 a game, shooting about 94%. Yep. So pretty crazy stats there. It's like literally his New York days, which is nice to see it. But the one thing, and that's why he's probably always going to be a sell high for me, will be the injury concern. He could be, playing really well now, but when the playoff season comes, he could be down. You never really know. He kind of has that title at this point for the injury prone player. And we know that when Luke is back, he obviously will fall off as well. So for that reason, I think if you could take advantage of it and you could find someone else that could secure, let's say, top 20 value, I think you probably should flip the switch.
Yeah, I think that's definitely the limit for me. Look, he was a my guy. He was a fantasy basketball my guy. I tweeted out before the season, him and three other players. Three of them have worked. One of them has not. I'm looking at you, De'Aaron Fox. But he definitely has after the injury concerns and he's come back. But obviously, he's not going to be the second-ranked player this season. We know that. You pointed out the fact that he's shooting 53% from the field. That's not going to stick. He's probably going to shoot less than 94% from the free throw line. Everything else, though, I can kind of see. Maybe that means the points come down as well. He's probably closer to that 22 points per game. But 22-9 with a block and a half, 2.5 threes, low turnovers, decent free throw percentage. We liked him as like a punt field goal kind of guy or a punt assist kind of guy as well. He is someone who I can see being a top 20 player. I think that per game, he can be a top 20 player. We do have the injury concerns, so if you can get someone who is quote-unquote durable, who's a definite top 20 player, you might want to do that, especially if it fits your team a little bit better. However, I'm trying to aim pretty high here with the Kristaps sell high. So I think he's a sell high, but I think you really want to shoot for the stars because his per game value, we know, is really, really, it's really good. He's a very unique kind of player. He's called the unicorn for a reason, and in fantasy, we love unicorns. So, you know, do your best to try and sell that, but I would still be evaluating him as like a 22-9, block and a half, 2.5 threes, less than 2 turnovers a game, good free throw percentage, the field goal percentage, obviously, probably closer to 45%. But if you value him as that kind of player, I think that's more realistic and sort of you can use that to sort of determine what he's going to be worth on the trade market. Do you have any names or someone that you'd be trying to get for Kristaps Porzingis?
Oh, you throw me in the spot here. I could find some. I probably did you have one on the top of your head?
Yeah, I was just going to throw some of the names out there. Like players, I know we're talking injury-prone players, but you know maybe you could do a Joel Embiid or something like that. He is someone whose ranking is down a little bit lower, but I think will outperform Kristaps. Obviously, two injury-prone players, so you're not necessarily gaining more risk. You're kind of just trading the same level of risk, I think, is a player you might want to have a look at. You know, if you want some more assists and things like that, maybe his teammate Luka Doncic, and you can deal with that free throw percentage or you're punting that category. He might be someone like that. An example of players who I wouldn't be trading him for Vucevic, Sabonis, Bam Adebayo, who are all those sort of second round big guys. I think, to me, there's a chance that he beats those players. And I actually think that per game, he will beat those players. I guess it comes down to your risk appetite. And, you know, we don't know really. I mean, you can say that he's injury prone, but maybe he doesn't. Maybe he's not injured. So any other names that you can, that come out of the top of your head there?
I mean, I'm looking at the top ranked centers right now, and it is tough because Kristaps usually does fit a certain build. So if you draft him, he probably was a great fit, whether it's punt assist or, you know, and kind of field goal or something like that. But you got some weird names up in the top 20. You got Valanciunas, who we might touch on later. We'll see. You got someone like an Al Horford who's in the top 20. Rudy Gobert, who usually is there. Miles Turner. In terms of all those names, I probably think he is worth holding on to.
Yeah.
If you could trade him for someone a bit better in terms of maybe you need a guard, you got like a DeJounte Murray, I'd be keen to flip that switch. I think DeJounte Murray's had a great season. DeRozan, I'd be preferring DeRozan for what I've seen so far as well. Tatum, I'd obviously prefer Tatum. So it looks like it's actually a bit hard to lock in a better center.
It is, yeah.
But if you needed some other positions, I do think there's a lot of guys you go out and get.
I would agree with that because I think there was a lot of busts in the second round in terms of those big guy positions. So in terms of the centers, that's why I was sort of leaning on that Joel Embiid. He's the kind of only guy that I'd be happy. Look, if you can get an Anthony Davis, sure, go ahead. But I don't think you'd be able to do that. But some of those other guys I wouldn't be able to do. So yeah, like your Bradley Beals or your Tatums or your Damian Lillards or I don't know if you can get James Harden, probably not. But, you know, those kind of players who have underperformed so far this season and you're looking for more of those assists and threes and free throw percentage. I think if you can do that, you can. But otherwise, enjoy the ride. Like, I believed in him as a per-minute guy anyway. This is just sort of if you can sort of get the best players out there because of his play recently. Let's go on to the next guy. I want to get your thoughts on this guy in a second, Cal, because in our Buy Low show, we mentioned We mentioned some players in on the Bucks that you might be able to trade this player for, and I'm referencing Tyrese Maxey, who has absolutely brained it coming out to start this season. He was on our sleeper show. I think he was a pretty obvious sleeper with some of the injuries and stuff, obviously the Ben Simmons situation over in Philly, but with all the COVID things with Tobias Harris, Joel Embiid, and all these other guys missing a lot of time, he's been like the only healthy body out there, averaging in a ridiculous, basically 36 minutes a night, getting insane usage all the time. He's the 32nd ranked player currently. The efficiency is insane. Do you think that we are selling high on Tyrese Maxey, and what kind of value are you looking for in a trade for Tyrese?
Yeah, it's a hard one to pick just because he's ranked 32 right now for the season, and he has been on a tear. He's been so efficient. Over the past, I think it's about 8 games, you got a 31 point, 33 points, 24, 16, 22, 28, 24. The man has been hot. If I look at his what he's been putting up the last, let's say, 14 days, he has been averaging 24.5 points, 3 rebounds, 4.5 assists, a steal a game, 1.5 threes, shooting 54% from the field. Yeah. Shooting 5 free throws and hitting 93% of them. So
the 8th ranked player in that time.
Exactly. Yeah. Number 8th ranked in the past 14 days. Huge. So Tyrese Maxey has 100% been on a tear. His efficiency is kind of like my big surprise. He's coming out of the gates.
Yeah.
And he really, like for the season, 51% field goal. Super, super efficient and free throws as well. So if you can trade him, it's hard to really catch a value just because preseason was 150.
Yeah.
And some guys are pretty hesitant to make an early season trade for someone that had a preseason rank like this. But look, that being said, if there's anyone in the top 30, I think you should obviously hit flip the switch. I think there is a trade brewing, but that means his minutes will come down or go up. Obviously,
he's playing that well, though.
Likely go down.
He's playing that well. The usage, I think, is the biggest thing, because he's going to get, not only is he going to get, you know, Joel Embiid and Tobias Harris back, but again, if there is a trade with Ben Simmons, there's just another body there. But yeah, the minutes, I don't know, they seem to trust him, and he's obviously putting up the stats at the moment. They are still winning basketball games. So I think that they've figured out that he's a good player. So I don't know if the minutes come down, but obviously he's not going to be the 8th ranked player.
Well, like, what do you think his value would be worth then? Like, what would you be willing? If you own Maxey right now, what are you going to trade him for?
He's a tough one to peg. He really is tough to peg. He's obviously, I don't think he's going to be a top 40 player like he currently is ranked on the season. So I am very happy to try and get a Drew Holiday, a Chris Middleton, a Brandon Ingram potentially. I would like a Brandon Ingram. And, you know, Vucevic. A lot of the guys we mentioned in our Buy Low show, if you haven't checked that out, check it out. There'll be a link at the end of this video. I would take any of those guys for Tyrese Maxey. I'd be valuing him more as like a, I don't know, 60 to 70th ranked player than the 30th, 32nd that he is at the moment, because I have to believe that efficiency is going to cool off. And the volume was also going to come back, and that's going to take him back a lot. He's not putting up huge amounts of steals. The assists, 4.5. It's okay, but it's not amazing. The threes are, 1.5's not that good. Low turnovers is also boosting his value up a lot. In the last 2 weeks, he's averaging less than one turnover a game. So those are always red flags. So I think his value does have a fair way to drop, and it can drop pretty quickly. So I'd be more around the 70th ranking is probably how I envisage him for the rest of the season.
Okay, so you'd be training anyone in the 60 range?
Anyone top 50.
You touched on a few.
Yeah, anyone who's in the top 50, I'd be happy to trade him for.
Yeah. Okay. I can agree to that. I think depending on who it is. But look, kudos to the person who has Maxey out there. I think you might as well throw some trades at this point.
Yeah.
So go see who you can get for him.
Yeah, 100%. See what the value is out there. He's a very exciting player. He's obviously a young player, and people love those sort of hot names and things like that. So I would definitely be trying to see what value can get. Let's talk about the next guy. Cal, who have you got as another sell high candidate?
I got Jonas Valanciunas, another big man. He has been killing it. Preseason 55, he kind of dropped off because of the trade, and people didn't know how he would fit with Zion. Maybe there was some hesitancy there because last season he was also on a bit of a tear. 16th is his current rank for the season. He's pretty much putting up similar numbers to how he closed out last season.
Yeah.
51% field goal, close to 20 points at 19, 12 and a half rebounds, which is huge. 2.5 assists for a big man, which is pretty reasonable. About a block a game, which hasn't had either. Really good from the three-three line for a big man. Yeah, so there's insane. Heaps and heaps of positive, you know, just net positive stuff there. So that's why he's at the 16th rank. Do I think he can keep it up?
No.
Look, at this point, look, yes, if
Zion never comes back
out for the whole season.
Yeah.
But Zion should be coming back, I think. And that's the big if. So you could kind of, you know, dip him out there, see if people will be interested. I do think obviously he will drop when Zion is back, because I just don't know how that will work. That's why he probably dropped the 55 during the preseason. Yeah. His shots will also come down as well, I'd anticipate. So look, you got a bit of time, because I don't know, Zion could be weeks away or whatever, but I do think that there's no issue in just kind of waving him out there, see what people will offer.
Yeah, the other risk I think associated with Valanciunas is just the fact that this New Orleans Pelicans team, just like the Houston Rockets, they suck, man. They're not playing well. I don't know if I like their coach, Willie Green. He does some weird things and puts some weird rotations out there, mixes and matches, and we see them get blown out a little bit, just like in the last game against Minnesota. You know, he only played 19 minutes because basically, you know, they weren't doing very well, so they tried to mix things up. So I can see that affecting his value a little bit in terms of minutes played. We've already seen him come back to earth a little bit the last 2 weeks. He is the 32nd ranked player. Still, obviously, 20 over 20 spots higher than we drafted him in the preseason. But, like you said, there's that looming risk of Zion Williamson coming back to the team. So if you can get someone who, you know, forgets this or hasn't taken that into consideration, I think if you can get a top 25, top 30 player for Valanciunas, I think you definitely do it. Would you agree with that kind of value? Or would you be going higher or lower? Or what are your thoughts in terms of the value?
Oh, look, anything top 30, I just 100% do. Top 40, depends if it fits my team.
Yeah.
Would kind of be where I'm standing.
Yeah. I guess I also just, this is a bit of a side tangent as well. We say these buy lows and sell highs, and we're talking about rankings and values and things like that. I don't always like to concentrate on this. It is something that is obviously going to change very, especially in a head-to-head league. In a roto league, it's obviously a bit more cut and dry. But in a head-to-head league, when you've got punting teams and you've got different, you know, you should be looking at your team, looking how it's performing each week, comparing it to the best team. So I know, for example, in our league, I'm pretty dominant in threes. I don't need any three-pointers. So I almost view the players that I'm trying to grab or add in like a punt threes build, because I'm so good in that category. I just, that value to me means nothing. So use the knowledge of your league and the teams that you're competing against that are close to you to gauge on what stats you need. In terms of the ranking, it's less about that. It's more about what stats you're getting. So maybe you want to trade Valanciunas for a guard or a big that gets more blocks than he does. Or, you know, maybe you don't care about the free throw percentage, so you can upgrade in rebounds and drop the free throw percentage. Get a Clint Capella or a Rudy Gobert or something like that. Those are the kind of things that you should be looking at. That's my side tangent for the day there. Anything to add to that little tangent there, Cal?
Look, all I'll say is spoiler, Mitch did draft Steph Curry, but that's all I'll say.
Yeah, yeah. When you draft Steph Curry, you're pretty good in threes. And I'll also add that Jordan Poole is helping me out a bit there too. All right, let's move on to the next sell high guy. Another big man, Montrezl Harrell. This guy is not someone who I thought would be doing this. And he is doing this. What I mean by that, he is putting up top 30 numbers, 17.5, 9 rebounds, nearly a block per game, insane efficiency. The free throw percentage is probably the biggest surprise to me. He's shooting over 5 attempts at 82.5%. Is that sustainable, Cal? Is he a good free throw shooter now? Like, this seems like high volume and high percentage. Are we thinking this is real now? What are your thoughts on his free throw percentage?
Free throw percentage is interesting. I'm looking at the previous seasons, about 71% at the Lakers, at the Clippers when he won his Sixth Man of the Year.
Yeah.
He was only at 66%. So like both those are bad. Right now at 82.5,
11,
you'd have to say...
Yeah, 11% jump with more attempts. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
Surely it will fall down a bit, but he's averaging 5.5 a game. So yeah, like there is some consistency there. Maybe he will... Throughout the bulk of the season, he will obviously, this could be a career year for him on free throw, but I would still expect the 82 to come down.
Yeah.
and affect his ranking. But that field goal, man, 65% field goal in 10 attempts a game, that's pretty damn good. That's going to carry you 17.5 points, 9 rebounds. The assists there have been kind of reasonable at 2.5 for a big man. You kind of hope he gets a bit more blocks as the season progresses, but he was never a draft guy for your blocks anyway. So in terms of like field goals, a huge carry. I think obviously 30th ranked, we all kind of said that, you know, to begin the season, we thought he would be pretty good. He's going to get in that sixth man. Thomas Bryant's gone. But look, Thomas Bryant's going to be coming back.
He will be.
At some point soon. Yep. So that should affect him. And as you touched on, the free throw probably will come down. So there are reasons to kind of sell high at this point.
I think on top of Thomas Bryant coming back, there is also Darvis Bertāns who has to come back. Rui Hachimura has to come back. Montrezl Harrell's also benefited by Daniel Gafford missing a few games here and there as well. So he's been logged into heavy minutes. So there's three guys that can play a little bit of minutes at his position yet to come back. He's also, like we said, benefiting from insane efficiency, under one turnover a game the last 2 weeks. So obviously, in my point of view, that's something that you should always be aware of as something that's boosting their rankings. And he's doing this in only 26 minutes a night. So to me, there's a little bit of, you know, if he's already only averaging 26 minutes a night and the team looks like this, there's a lot of, you know, a high degree of variance there. The lower the minutes are, the more likely that he's not going to have enough time to put up these kind of stats. The field goal percentage is absolutely insane. We know he's going to be a good field goal percentage guy, but 67.5% shooting is astronomically high, especially on the attempts that he's getting. So I can definitely see that even if it goes from like 67% to like 57%, there's 10 percentage drop. And that's a huge hit to his value because that's really, you know, because outside of the points, rebounds, and field goal percentage, and yes, the free throws are good, there's no threes, there's no blocks, there's no steals. You know, the assists are there-ish for a big guy, but he's never really done that, so I can expect that to drop off as well. So there are a few holes in his game, and even if we see a slight regression in field goal, it will drop him back a fair way. So if I can get anyone top 50 for Montrezl Harrell, I would definitely be doing that. What's your line? Yeah, 100%. Line?
Even like top 60, 70, I'll be considering it for Trez. I think he's due to fall off.
Yeah.
Now's the time. Seize the moment.
Absolutely. I would definitely. Yeah, I think I would draw the line at 60. I don't know. Top 70, depending on the player. If I really needed their stats, I might consider it. But, you know, there's a chance that he keeps this up. And I always want to be pretty confident that I am selling high on these guys. So I guess it depends on your situation there. All right, let's move on to the next sell high guy. Who have you got for your last one here, Cal?
So my last guy is Gary Trent Jr., who has been crazy, crazy good in steals this season, 2.1, which is dragging his rank up to the 21st ranked player
really
so
random
far for the season.
Yeah.
His preseason was 166, so he was really sliding in drafts. He was always kind of, I always assumed he was going to be a threes and points guy, which usually does fall in the draft because a lot of players can do that. His field goal, 43%, that's kind of what you expected. He's taken a fair few attempts at about 15, which probably is over what I believed he was going to do preseason. Another reason why he's also beefed up to 21st is those turnovers are 0.9 a game. And whenever that's happening to boost your ranking, it's usually time to sell high, in my opinion, because it's just not the best way to win. A lot of guys just don't really care about turnovers. It's not the great stat because you want to have your points, rebounds, assists, which does obviously usually come hand in hand with high turnovers. So, I think the points, I guess, could be pretty reliable in terms of the 17. I do imagine the steal is going to come down. 2.1.
Yeah, I agree.
It just seems too high for me.
I do think that they will come down as well. We have even seen in the last 2 weeks, it's down to 1.1 per game. And in that time, look, he's still the 27th ranked player because he's putting up 3.6 threes and the field goal percentage is really high. The turnovers are still low. So, look, he's still putting up a lot of good value even when the steals are down a little bit lower. But, it's been a surprise for sure. I don't know. I keep expecting them to come up and then he'll have a three steal game. So it's really random. The minutes obviously very high in Toronto. He's obviously, you know, one of their go-to guys. We know Nick Nurse plays his guys a lot of minutes. You have to think, you know, as Pascal Siakam gets a bit more involved, right now Ananobi's out with an injury. He should be back pretty soon as well. So they haven't had a lot of time with everyone fully healthy. And so I think the usage of the players like, you know, Fred VanVleet, OG, Pascal, and now Scotty Barnes, I think, you know, Gary Trent is going to be like the fifth guy there in terms of usage. I would hope to think that. Maybe he's slightly ahead of Scotty Barnes, I'm not sure, but those two are battling for four and five in terms of the usage thing, and I think that's really where all of his value is shooting threes, getting a lot of points, low turnovers. He might have a trickle of steals there as well, and the free throw percentage is obviously going to be pretty solid, but on low attempts. So I think as soon as the team's healthy, he's going to take a fairly sizable chunk, hit to his value. So again, similar to the last person we talked about, Montrezl Harrell, I'd be viewing him. If I can get anyone top 60, top 70, I'd be pretty happy to do. Maybe not top 70. Yeah, probably more that top 50, top 60, if you can do so. Because right now he's ranked top 30. So yeah, you might be able to pull that off. What are your thoughts on his value and where you're trying to get a trade?
I think like a top 50 guy, I'd just do it instantly, honestly.
Yeah.
I think he's going to jump up maybe in top 60, 70. I'd obviously consider it, but I think he's kind of destined for about the 80th rank, honestly, for the rest of the season. I think there's going to be some changes in Toronto to the lineup, like you touched on. They've got a lot of kind of, they've had some injuries, and I feel like this roster is going to be experimented with a little bit. And I wouldn't even be surprised at one point, for some reason, he just ends up coming off the bench for whoever. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I do think things could change pretty quickly on Toronto.
Yeah, I can see that happening as well. Now, because we think he might be like an 80 to 90th ranked player, that doesn't mean you then trade for that. Like, I still, even if I think that, I wouldn't accept someone who's top 70 because, or around that 70th mark, because there is a chance that he's better than that. And maybe these steals do stick. And you know, we could be wrong there. The steals are very, you know, there's a high degree of swing going on in that kind of category, especially. So for that reason, aim for at least like 20 spots, 30 spots of value to actually get a quote-unquote sell high. Because otherwise, it's just a trade. You know what I mean? You're just trading him for the sake of trading him. So you're trying to extract value. So I would be aiming for, 20-plus spots of value, which for me is that 60-plus kind of range. So I think we both agree in where we view his value moving forward. And the last guy, again, similar kind of vein as a Gary Trent Jr., it is Pat Connaughton, who is just playing like with the absolute lights out. He's currently the 90th ranked player on the season, and the last 2 weeks, he is actually the 37th ranked player. So he's on a hot streak, shooting 3.6 threes, over a steal a game. The rebounds are actually pretty solid for the guard position as well. Field goal percentage is the big red flag there, 52%. Under a turnover a game, again, boosting his rankings. So if you can get anyone in the top 100 for Pat Connaughton, I would definitely be doing it, because he's going to be shuffled way back as Drew, Chris Middleton, even like a Dante DiVincenzo when he's back healthy. When all these guys are getting back up to speed, getting more minutes, his usage and minutes are going to trend down very fast. So anyone in the top 100, I'm happy to take a trade for Pat Connaughton.
Yeah, I agree. Anything top 100, he's probably destined for the bench role because Brooke will be coming back as well. Bobby's been killing it, by the way. Big Bobby. Do a little bit of a shout out. But yeah, look, the field goal, 52% and 3.6 three-pointers a game the last couple of weeks. Pretty high. Those turnovers at 0.9 is also just really beefing him up to 37th ranked. So if you can convince someone, now's the time, then sure, go for it. But you have to expect his usage to and minutes to definitely drop.
Yeah, 100%. I think, you know, yeah, anyone in the top 100 you can try to get. I view him really as like a three-point streamer. Like in a couple of weeks, it wouldn't surprise me if you're just basically dropping Pat Connaughton, because he's not going to give you anything else outside of the points and threes, and the points are not going to be very high when all these guys are back healthy and getting their usage up. So if you can get anything that's like a sustainable, I'm going to keep you on my roster kind of player, then I would do that, because I don't think Connaughton is going to be that moving forward, even though he is currently in the top 100 for the season. I don't expect that to stay. Anything you want to add there on the sell high guys? Oh, sorry, the sell high guys or Pat Connaughton in particular?
I'm not really. I just like, once again, make your league interesting. Make some offers. It's always fun.
Make some offers. Get the trades going. You know, I always like to, I never like to, here's a little advice for buying low and selling high. I always like to, instead of just floating a trade offer out there with no context, message your, the manager of that team, put in a little bit of a reason as to why you're doing it. Make it make sense. Make it, I just want to get some more assists or whatever. Oh, you know, I don't need these threes or whatever the case may be. Just so it seems more legit. Don't just throw out the trade and hope that they accept it. I like to go a little bit that extra further, and I usually find it works a treat. Would you agree with that?
It does. You can always persuade someone. You could definitely just make your guy sound like absolute trash. I don't need these threes. I just need some blocks. Like, let's make something happen.
Yeah.
And it could be a good way to just kind of downplay your own guy, but
yeah. Always, try to get those trade negotiations going. It definitely helps. But thanks again for listening to the podcast, guys, or watching along on YouTube. If you are enjoying the podcast, make sure you leave a like, a big thumbs up, big fat thumbs up on the video. Give us a 5-star rating. Again, reminder, we're doing a Q&A podcast once we reach 30 reviews on the Apple or iTunes podcast. So if you're enjoying, go along there. You don't have to say anything massive, no big paragraphs. Just say something funny. Say that Cal's a dickhead or something like that. We don't mind. As long as you leave that 5-star there, we can be very appreciative. And thank you very much. And when we get to 30, like we said, Q&A podcast coming. But thank you very much, guys, for listening. And we will see you guys next time. Laters.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy 5 or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.